Thank you, Pastor Jeremy, Daniel. That was great. I was so caught up in worship that I almost forgot to turn my mic on. Can you hear me? Too bad. What was that? What was that? Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We can't help but cry out to you and sing that song, "Thank you for saving me." And God, that truly is what this is all about. We come here this morning to worship you and say thank you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Lord, as we cry out to you and proclaim you as Lord, we proclaim you as Lord of not only this church, but also of our individual lives. Because you have saved us. We come, Lord, with various hurts and various needs, health needs, emotional needs, social needs, God, physical needs, we come to you. There are many. And we praise you. We praise you, God, that we can pray for one another through those needs. We praise you for Salma and for Clayton, as we've already proclaimed this morning, God. What you've done there is amazing in both those situations. Those are living miracles, and God, we thank you. But we lift all the other concerns, God. Seaver and Nathan and Doug and Ruth and Herb and Lori and Connie and Megan, and God, we lift them to you. And you know each situation, you know each hurt, you know each family member, you know each doctor. And God, we pray specifically right now for each one. And Father, also as we come knowing that our community has been affected greatly. Father, we don't know why this occurred this week with Weyerhaeuser. But we certainly present to you our confusion and God, our shock and astonishment in some ways. We also pray that you'd look after those, God, who are affected by this. And that means broader than just the company. We pray for those truckers and loggers and all those affected. God, even the ones right here in our congregation, we pray for them specifically that you would just give to them your peace. Father, may you surround them with your protection and may they understand that you're a God who does care and loves them. Father, we look forward to the plans you have for us and we're just following, God, where you want us to go. And so we just pray, we pray that as we walk in obedience to you, you would just keep knocking down the walls that get in the way so that we can complete your purpose for us here at First. We know that that's unending, God, but we pray that as we look forward to the seniors facility and to the new church facility, that God, you would just bless us as we move in obedience to you. God, thank you we can come together. Thank you for Thanksgiving, and we just pray now your blessing upon your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm being instructed. This is good. Pastor Jeremy, he comes and he's following me, and he goes, "Okay, now I'm putting this on. Don't touch." So I put it, I didn't touch, but it, see, there it is. Like that. Okay. I don't want to break it. I did it. I broke it last time. I don't want to break it again. How many of you are thankful to God today? Like, just, all right, great. You can all go home. We're done. No, just kidding. I got to tell you, I'm truly thankful to God. I was in Calgary this past week, and I was actually had the opportunity to to observe our Baptist Union office and offices, and it was great. What a great experience. If you're ever in Calgary, make sure you take that in, because it's great to seeing everybody there and meeting with everybody. One thing I am thankful for, I'm thankful for a great church that I am allowed to pastor. You guys, man, I had the opportunity of chatting and meeting with other senior pastors this past week, and there's no denying it. You guys are a gift from God to me and to us as staff, and I don't know why I keep gurgling like that. I've done everything in my power. I really have. You know, okay. If need be, just turn this on. Oh, wait, this doesn't work either, so we're kind of at a lot. Huh? To preach down there, yeah. How many of you here know what it's like to have a bad day? A bad day? Yeah. A few of you. Yeah, well, this mic's going to be the end of my day, I'll tell you that. But I know I do. I mean, we all walk through the challenge of daily living. And this morning, I trust that you'll gain some encouragement and you'll some understanding about celebration that you will be able to walk from this place this morning with hope, renewed hope. And excitement, hope for what is to come, hope for where God is taking you, for hope for where you're being drawn towards Him even more. We have every reason to be excited about what God is doing in His church right here, right now. Amen? We have every reason. Jesus Christ came to create a church that would pray, a church that would reach beyond the walls, a church that would walk and just filter, that's drip with Christ, a place where we would hold on to the things unseen, the things hoped for. But unfortunately, many of us hold on to other things. We hold on to our own desires. We hold on to our own wants. We hold on to the things that we think should happen. Or we often hold on to bitterness, revenge, unforgiveness. We hold on to those things. And in our holding, we lose sight of the celebration. Like an 80-year-old grandmother. True story. Can I tell it to you? Just got to tell you this. Can I tell you this? All right, great. Before all-weather ramps were in common use at airports, you know, like they have those enclosed structures now. Before that, passengers would come off and they'd go down some steep steps directly to the tarmac, you know, to the pavement. How many of you remember that? You're all kind of, well, you know. I know I do. I remember it. And Gail Grant's 80-year-old grandma, she returned to Edmonton from a vacation in Hawaii. And Granny had made it almost to the last step, protectively clutching a bottle of sherry under her coat. When she missed her footing, then she landed nose down on the tarmac. And she lay still for just quite a few moments, and she was kind of trying to collect herself until she felt something trickling beneath her. And startled, she said, "I hope that's blood." You see, unfortunately, many people hold on to protectively the wrong things in this life. We get caught in this trap, and we lose sense of the celebrative moment, the celebrating thankfully. That's the kind of church that Jesus came to create, a church that celebrates. We're going to celebrate next week. We're going to celebrate today. We already have. That's great. Well, this morning I thought, as our journeys included Old Testament giants, we've been walking through them, we need to focus on the Old Testament as we celebrate thankfully. And that's why I want to examine Psalm 139. It's a great psalm. I love this psalm. And we need to celebrate thankfully. Turn to Psalm 139. We're going to look at this whole thing today. Celebrate thankfully. But by looking at this psalm, we will note aspects that encompass celebrating thankfully. And if we do this, you're gonna leave from here so happy, it'll be hard to keep you down. I mean, that's a guarantee. Psalm 139. You gotta understand, to celebrate thankfully, you gotta first of all thank the right person. You gotta thank the right person. A celebration takes more than one. I've often found myself in a party spirit about something, and no sooner am I celebrating when someone else wants to join in the fun. Some even want to spoil the party. But listen to this. Psalm 139. I'm going to move this mic. Look at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. What a party spirit. David knew that he needed to thank the right person. I think of a moment. I've just got to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? Wonderful moment in the life of my kids. I was so happy. Sunday afternoon, you know how it is. It's a great day. Had wonderful celebration. You know, I don't know. There's something particularly great about this one particular Sunday afternoon that I had with my children. And we had a wonderful time worship that day. And I don't know what it was. I was just kind of in an enthusiastic mood. I know it's strange, but I was. And I think maybe I was. There was molasses cookies after the service or something. I was so excited. So we got home, and our kitchen has two entrances to the hallway. All right, you got the picture? So I'm doing that. There's some Disney music going on, and I'm listening to this music, and I'm kind of bouncing around like this. Okay, you got the picture? And then I run through the one entrance to the hallway, and I just keep going, and I keep going around. Well, soon the kids loved it, so they're joining in. We're just bouncing around, and we're just going, you know. And then soon, like Joan, who's sitting at the table reading her Bible. We said, Joan, come and join us. You know, so she joins in and she's celebrating. We're walking around and we're having a great time. But I can't just contain myself long enough to slow, so I go faster and I'm just starting to run. You know, and I'm running around in circles. And I'm running around. All of a sudden, bam! Felicia falls, hits the cold air vent and cuts her head just in the back here. Blood's trickling down. And I look in horror. I mean, Joan's like consoling. It's okay, it's okay. She's trying to attend to her. And Nathan, he's just standing there like, you know, and Felicia's crying. And I stopped right now. And I said we shouldn't get so rowdy. You know, like that. That's how it is in our house, you know. But in order to celebrate, we must do so with someone. And I know no better person to begin my celebrating with than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen? He himself is all about celebration. He created the church to be this place where hurting people could come together, weep, and care for one another. And we do that so well. We hurt together. We do. Yet we also celebrate so well together. We're so thankful together. And that's what the church is supposed to be all about. My question for you is, have you thanked the right person lately? You see, you talk about seeing the big picture here. I mean, look at these verses. Lord, you've searched me. You know me. David explores the depths of God's omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence. God is everywhere. David's dynamic and intimate relationship with God shapes his perspective on life. The king of Israel knew that he wasn't alone. Do you know that you're not alone? When you're hurting, when you've been hurt, when you're grieving, when you're excited, when you're joyful, do you know that you're not alone? David understood, and so should we, that especially when we do not feel very celebrative, we should thank the one who gives beyond measure that we cannot even understand it. That's what Christian living is all about. That's what the Christian life is all about. To celebrate thankfully. To celebrate thankfully, you've got to thank the right person. To celebrate thankfully, you've got to transform your thinking. Transform your thinking. A lot happens to us on any given day. Some things are exciting, some not so pleasant. In fact, some things are horrible, and they affect many even around us that happen. And it seems almost daily something new comes along to challenge our believing God. An illness, a death. Even this past week, the devastating news of Weyerhaeuser shocked all of us. And it's affected all of us. And, you know, I sat him out of it. I got back from Calgary on Friday and I made some calls. I phoned those that I know were affected by this, and I just said, I want you to know I'm praying. I got to tell you a story. It's really quite sad. I walking through the Baptist Union offices, and I met Ken Thiessen, who's coming on as our new area minister, and he's coming starting October 15th, I believe. And so Ken Thiessen, shook my hand, and he said, "Oh, Devin, yeah, nice to meet you. I'm so sorry about Prince Albert." And I went, "What? So real what?" "So yeah, Weyerhaeuser closing. I'm so sorry." I slumped in his chair in his office, and he went, "You didn't hear, did you?" And I said, "I did now." You know, and Ken said, "Whoa, what a way to meet me." You know? I sat in my office and I thought, wait a minute, you know, on Friday I said, "God, wait a minute, what's going on? Why is this happening? What, do you understand, God? What, this is Thanksgiving. What a time for Weyerhaeuser to close down, you know, for the news." And then all of a sudden God said, "Well, hey, I can't think of a more opportune time for us to be thankful." And I think David himself walked through such times of loneliness. He struggled deeply. He was affected deeply. Yet he also knew that God was fully aware of what was happening and how it was affecting him. He knew it. God does know how things affect us. He does. We don't know how we can go on sometimes, but we do. We go on in spite of. You notice in the front, you read of the Apostle Prison Paul in Philippians there, and he says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I can't understand why some things happen, like Weyerhaeuser. I can't comprehend that. But God knows. He knows how we feel. He knows how we're affected. Look at verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Wow. Those are great verses. What a magnificent psalm. We're told that the link between us and God's Spirit is not only a reality, it's inescapable. You see, in order to transform our thinking, we need to take time to listen. 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 Listen to the words in this psalm. Heavens, rise, settle, guide, hold, light, created wonderfully, wonderful, woven, together, ordained, precious. Wonderful, comforting thought. We and he are supernaturally interwoven and inseparable. Wherever you or I go, he goes. Whatever we think, he knows. In fact, he oversaw our conception and he gave us our personality as well as our physical makeup. I reminded my mother of that frequently. And to that, I say, why can we not be joyful for who we are? I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made, and so are you. What a reason to be excited. What a reason to be joyful. We are uniquely created, fearfully and wonderfully made. We are equipped with an inner system that can grasp this message from God and compels us to understand his awesome presence. And when that happens, we're celebrative. C.S. Lewis said this. He said it well. He said, you can't see anything properly when your eyes are blurred with tears. Isn't that great? Mike Doughty just returned from a trip to New Jersey. And while en route there, he was stuck in traffic due to a traffic fatality in Interstate 81, just below the Virginia state line. True story. There was a tanker truck hauling a lot of hazardous material that developed a leak, which meant that they weren't going anywhere for several hours. He was told by the Tennessee State Troopers that he'd be sitting still until the cleanup was completed, and so Mike set his brakes on his truck, and he got out to stretch his legs, and other truck drivers did the same, and at one point there were five truckers just standing there complaining. And right beside them in the left lane were two people around their, you know, 70s, late 70s, and they had a Silverado truck, and it was just loaded. I mean, it was packed, you know, weighted down, you know. And their names were Joe and Anna, and they lowered their window. Joe lowered, and they asked what was going on with the traffic situation. And soon they were talking. These five truckers were talking with this couple. And Mike mentioned that if he had known about this, he would have brought something to drink, some kind of water or something. I mean, he was parched. And Anna said that she had plenty of water. She even had some sodas in a cooler in the back of their truck. And offered everybody present there something to drink. And while she was at the back of the truck, she said that she had plenty of tuna salad made up. You know what that is. And asked if anyone would be interested in a sandwich. Well, this was getting great. And after some urging from good old hubby Joe, they all agreed to a sandwich. And while Anna was making the sandwiches on the tailgate of the truck, she was singing like a little songbird. She had a remarkable voice. And when she finished making the sandwiches, putting everything up, Joe raised that tailgate of the truck and closed it, and Mike, the trucker, noticed a Mississippi license plate on it. So he said, well, what part of Mississippi are you from? And Joe said, Biloxi. Well, Mike said, wow, did you get any damage from the hurricane, that Hurricane Katrina? Joe said that they lost everything except what they were wearing and what was in their pickup truck. And all those truckers, they all five of them, just stood around and said, you got to take something. Nope, we're not taking anything for those drinks and sandwiches. They'd have nothing to do with it. Joe said that their son was living around Harrisburg, Virginia. They were going there, and he was in the real estate business. And there was a home that became open, and that they were going to start all over again. Start over in their 70s. Mike said he's 48 years old and never tasted such a good tuna sandwich with side orders of reality and humility before. These people lost everything. Everything. Except what was in their truck. Everything they owned was gone. And they still made sandwiches and poured Cokes. Joe said this is he said this. He said, it's better to give than to receive. Wow. The truck and themselves came out of Hurricane Katrina unscathed, and Joe says that he built this block wall and they stood behind it, got behind it, and they watched their belongings and their home disappear in the winds of that occurrence. But then Joe said that all during this, all he had was one hand holding on to Anna and the other hand holding on to God. By the way, you want to know what song little Anna was singing there? She sang the song entitled, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. and she knew every word, and quite a gifted singer. The chorus goes like, have you ever heard it? I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. You don't have to leave. But it goes like, Pastor Jeremy is going, chorus of the song goes like this. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Do you know who holds your hands? If we could only celebrate so thankfully when the winds take away all we own, to transform our thinking, we need to spend time listening to God. But to celebrate thankfully, you got to thank the right person. You got to transform your thinking. You got to trust God. Look at these verses. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you ever become kind of like David here, you know? I love you, God. You know, that's how he was. He was feeling the pressure was on, and everything around him was going horrible. And then all of a sudden, yeah, search me. God, search me. We're like that. You see, I think this last point is, we need to settle this more than ever, whom we will serve. If you serve yourself, guaranteed you'll be miserable, guaranteed. If you serve Christ, joy abounds. But you must choose whom you will trust. We can hear, if we listen, we can hear. If we listen, we can hear his still, small voice. And we can decipher messages, if we listen. We can decipher messages of peace or warning, conviction of sin or guidance from him. God created us with this capacity. If we listen, God's message can penetrate deep within us. Doesn't it say in Hebrews 4? It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's truths are able to enter into our soul and our spirit, exposing us to the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's amazing. John Ortberg said this, and he said it well. Jesus was perfectly capable of laying out five principles to dynamic praying, and the fact that he didn't should make us reflect. Isn't that good? Got to go to him, the source. Got to go to his presence. If you want to transform your feelings of doom and gloom, bitterness to rejoicing, if you want to experience the tremendous power of joy in your life, stop depending on other things and other people and church rituals to make you happy and start trusting God to do his work in your life and in the life of this church. It will truly transform your living from day to day. A quick story, I have to tell you this because it shocked me. I got on the plane I got back up a little bit. I had some time in the airport, so I did some reading, prep work, and everything. And I got a little corner, and I said to God, I said, okay, God, listen, I really don't want to be bothered on the plane, okay? So, and then I said, oh, wait a minute. Anytime I say that, you always put somebody beside me who needs you. So I'm going to take that back. You know, it was too late, though. It was already gone. So I get on the plane, and sure enough, here's my seat, and it's the window seat. I love the window seat. And here's this young couple, 18-month-old boy, and ladies of the aisle. She said, I hope you don't mind. He's going to crawl over you to look out the window. I said, you know what? Hey, listen, why don't you take the window seat? Are you sure? I said, oh, sure. Take. What a gentleman, you know. You like those things, yeah? Anyway, I didn't want to tell her I'd have to use this as a sermon illustration, so I did that. But anyway, so she, Yeah. Anyway, so she moved over. She was sitting by the window. So I'm sitting down, and I said, so they asked me, so do you live in Calgary? I said, no, no. Oh, you live in Saskatoon? No, no, no. Where do you live? Prince Albert. I thought, oh man, I have to talk to these people now because they're engaging me, you know? So I said, what about you? Well, no, we live in Calgary. We're going, once a business, we're going back to the in-laws in Saskatoon, and you know, oh, I said, good for you. So I started, you know, I could hear them saying, oh, praise the Lord, he's so good. Little comment's so good, praise the Lord, praise. So I said, oh, you guys are Christians? Yeah, we are. Yeah, we love the Lord and everything. I said, great. The thing that startled me the most is these were two women going to their in-laws. They were married. If I had till Toronto, I could have done something, I think. But I couldn't get deeper with it. I was asking them. I said, you're both Christian? Yeah, we're both Christian. I said, this doesn't compute for me. No, it won't. I'm chatting a bit more and chatting a bit more. And finally, one of them said, well, we find it so hard to trust God anymore. I wonder why. I feel bad for them. I told them, I said, I'm going to be praying for you. By the way, I said, I'll be praying for you. They said, thank you very much. And I did. I prayed for them. I said, God, I. This, and it startled me. This startled you? Thankful people of God, listen. You gotta, in moments even like that, you gotta listen to God. There are times you're going to walk back and present to him your burdens, your concerns, and let him fill you with his joy. You cannot get him to fill you with his joy unless you let him have your burdens and your concerns. You're going to get that out of there. Give it to him so he can fill you up. That's our only hope. That's our only hope. I praise God daily. You see, the reason I do is because God is for me. You hear that? God is for me. Amen? Say that with me. God is for me. Oh, some of you fell asleep. Let's do that again. God is for me. Do you believe that? I do. Not because I encounter struggles and challenges, not because life is uncertain and unclear. I praise God because he's for me. I praise God because, as his word is so clear here, we need to praise God because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God chose me. I will never forget this. Hardship is difficult. But the uncertainty is overwhelming. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're just finding life a bit overwhelming. Look over these words in Psalm 139 again. Realize something. You're not alone. You're not alone. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We're going to conclude with the doxology and make it your prayer this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. When it comes to relationships, will you ask the Lord to just bless you? When it comes to objectives and the pursuit of his will, again, I ask, will you say, Lord, just your will? And then as the day gets long, as the journey gets painful, will you beseech the Lord to just bless you? And as you face the uncertainty of tomorrow, the circumstances that are upon you, can you tell the Lord that you want him to transform you? I want you, Lord, to be in control because you're God. I sincerely want you, God, to use me. I want nothing more than to celebrate Thanksgiving. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we do, I'm going to ask you some things this morning. Maybe do you feel like you're alone? Maybe you feel like you're alone. Maybe you feel like you're in this battle by yourself and you've forgotten that God is right there walking you through it. Maybe your own self is getting in the way of God filling you with his joy and with his purpose. I don't know. Maybe it's your bitterness. Maybe it's your concern. Maybe it's a hurt that's just so deep down in there. that you've just never given it to God so that he can fill you with his joy. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed this morning, and I ask you, do you trust God? Tough question. Do you trust God? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. If you're saying, Lord, I trust you. I give you my hurt today. Lord, I trust you. I give you my concern. I give you my circumstances. I give you my desires. I give you all that, God. I give it so that you fill me with your joy. Just lift your hand. Just lift it. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Oh, God sees all those hands. God sees them. Father, today, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. It's so necessary. Lord, all those who put up their hands, even those who just didn't know if they could, God, I just pray your blessing on them right now. Pray your mighty wave of blessing on them. God, fill them with your joy. Give to them your excitement and enthusiasm. God, may they know they're never alone. May they know that you want the best for them. Father, it's been a great morning. I love these people. I pray your blessing on them. In Jesus Christ's name, we give thanksgiving to you, God. Amen.